There has been no more fertile NFL draft ground than Ohio State in the modern era. They've produced more NFL first round draft picks than anybody else. So it's a little weird, Berm, that a light crop of Buckeyes is heading to the NFL draft this weekend, which starts tonight. That's Thursday night. And this is the Podcast Daily. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. It's a good thing for the current Buckeyes, and it's just an odd thing for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think about this specific draft and how much different it could be for Ohio State, but how much better it is for fans that it's not going to be very, at least Thursday night will be pretty quiet for Ohio State, minus whatever happens with Marvin Harrison in the first, five or six picks. But other than that, you look at the first round and what could have been and what is, and I think people should just be grateful for it. It's very rare that Ohio State has a bunch of people that are capable of playing in the NFL and high level picks that are deciding to return. So let's celebrate it. You know, we'll just watch it and enjoy it. There's a lot of rumblings on Wednesday about teams in the middle of the draft trying to trade up. I have convinced myself that the Bengals are one of them, that they're going to trade up for Marvin Harrison.
Oh, no. You're setting yourself up for failure. Oh, no.
Any other outcome other than that will leave me sincerely depressed. But I think the Bengals should very, very likely trade the 18th pick and T. Higgins and like a second round pick or something next year to move up to four and draft Marvin Harrison. And anything other than that will leave me disappointed.
I can think of one scenario that would have you the most disappointed, and that would be Marvin Harrison Jr. going at number five to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
San Diego. Well, I thought about that, and I actually...
Are you just going to keep calling him San Diego forever? Is that like the joke, the bit now?
No, I just don't care that they're in Los Angeles. Going to be the San Diego Chargers for as long as I live. But the thing about the NFL, I actually wonder how many people are like me in this respect. Obviously, I don't hide the fact that I growing up, consider myself an Ohio State fan, but I've never cared about where guys in the NFL went to college. Like, I don't understand why people, like, I don't want that guy in my team. He went to Michigan. Like, if the player is good, I want them on the Bengals. The problem is that when the Bengals have drafted players from Michigan in the last decade or so, they've always stunk. And so, like, the Chris Perrys of the world are drafting that punter a year ago who was awful. And then you couple that with the fact that they draft a punter from Michigan and in doing so tell Drew Chrisman to move on. And it's like a double whammy because obviously, we're big fans of Drew as a human. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. I think Marvin Harrison ending up in San Diego is an awesome fit for him because he gets to play with Justin Herbert. And yeah. And they lost Keenan Allen. I was going to say Keenan McCardell. Like I'm really living in 2007 right now.
Yeah.
And Mike Williams, so there's a wide open wide receiver room there. I have a tough time knowing Jim Harbaugh's style of play, thinking that he would go out and draft Marv at that spot because Marv, he's capable of blocking and he's a physical guy, but he's not like what Harbaugh traditionally uses. But I guess the problem for him is that he never really had one like that. So I don't know. I think the real intrigue is what Arizona does with that fourth pick. And there's conversation about them trading down. There's conversation about them staying pat and picking Marv. There's conversation about every team in the league trying to move up to take offensive tackles. And all of this to say for Ohio State, it's only Marvin Harrison tonight, and that's going to be the only real intrigue as far as the Buckeyes go.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about it from perspective of like cheering for the Bengals and them having Michigan players, but like I don't feel like anybody around the Ohio State ecosystem would want to see Jim Harbaugh succeed as he goes back to the NFL after what happened for the last half dozen years. And like Marv seems pretty likely to help him do that. And I think that would be pretty uncomfortable, which is different. It's the inverse because this is a coach instead of a player.
I think it's much more likely what we know about Jim Harbaugh that he goes out of his way to ensure that JJ McCarthy ends up being a top five pick by trading out of that spot and draft it with Minnesota or somebody else or Denver, whoever's really in love with JJ, and then allowing JJ to be a top five pick because that seems more like something Harbaugh would do. He's kind of bizarrely affectionate towards him in a way that's almost uncomfortable. But we were talking at Roosters on Monday, and I told you, and I'll say it now for the world. Like, if I had to choose between JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams, I would take JJ McCarthy 10 times out of 10. And so
I would just choose literally any other quarterback. Like, how are those the only two options available?
In this scenario, you have to choose one of those two. I would take JJ 10 times out of 10. I mean, did you see the video on Wednesday of Caleb Williams? Like, they had all the NFL, like the all the draft attendees walking across a field or something, and everyone there was dressed in the Nike Tech warm-up suits, except for Caleb Williams. Like, you're just trying too hard, man. Like, the whole pick me thing is just very obnoxious.
Also, I think everybody else in that line of players was like tall enough to ride a roller coaster.
I suppose Caleb Williams is not, you know, we know he's not 6'4", but he certainly looks shorter than 6'1", but that could just be a matter of perspective. Yeah. So Marvin will be the highest drafted Ohio State receiver of all time in unless something strange happens. Do you, and we're just riffing because it's the offseason now, we have nothing to talk about because nothing is happening around Ohio State football, which is fascinating.
Of course something's happening. It's the NFL draft. We're pumped for it.
Do you, after what we've witnessed in the last 5 years of wide receiver play at Ohio State, is Marvin the best that you, would you rank him as the number one guy that we watched in your mind at wide receiver?
I was thinking about that in the buildup to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Clearly he's the most decorated of that group. I have, like, I don't know if it's a blind spot or a soft spot or both. Like, I just had such a crazy appreciation for what Garrett Wilson did throughout his career, and I thought he was the most complete package. And I didn't think I was ever going to change my mind around about that. But what Marv did the last 2 years, and then starting in that Rose Bowl at the end of his freshman year when Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were out, planted the seed for that. And the statistical production, the value to the offense, the way that other teams defended Ohio State changing so dramatically to account for him. I really want to make a case for Garrett Wilson. Either one, Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave. I really want to do that, but I'm not sure that I can in good conscience. I wanted to hold off in December because I felt like I was being a prisoner of the moment. But the further that we get removed, and then even still seeing him working out like in March and April, and like you could tell it was just emanating off him that he still wanted to be at Ohio State, and like how important it was to him, and that he definitely like didn't want to go be the number four pick. He would rather wait another year. I feel like he's got to be the best wide receiver that I've ever covered, the best that I've seen at Ohio State, and trying to argue against that now seems like folly to me.
Yeah, I think I think for me over these last few months, like the most glaring thing that I could take away from all the time we've spent at the Woody since the start of the season, like, or start of the spring, like, I am so convinced Marvin Harrison did not want to go to the NFL draft. Like,
right.
And maybe that informed a little bit of the way he's handled things, like not wanting to be all up in the draft process. I mean, I completely understand the approach of saying, hey, here's all my game film. I've played every snap for 2+ years. Like, you don't need to see me run a 40 in shorts. Like, if you want to see how fast I can run, there's video where I'm running 22 miles an hour against Youngstown State. Like, you can see it on the field. I don't care how many times he can bench press. Like, these things are so stupid. And these NFL draft people who try to convince themselves that it means something are ridiculous. But I do think what meant something is that, like, it was clear the guy was not wanting to leave Ohio State. And I almost wonder, like, what it would have taken for him to come back. Because, there was always the conversation about, oh, Marvin Harrison, $25 million NIL offer, which was obviously complete malarkey and not even close to the truth. But I wonder if there was a number that would have actually satisfied that beast, or if this was just a matter of Marv and his dad saying, we have to go now because you just never know if you'll get the same chance.
Yeah, I remember at this exact time last year, Berm, we had the same conversation about CJ Stroud, where it was like, well, if you could get to the you know, Bryce Young level, it was $7 million that he had made that previous year. Could, like, isn't that enough for CJ Stroud? That'd be more than his rookie contract. Like, that's not what the way these rookie contracts are structured, where you are guaranteed, you know, the $30 million. It is a conversation between, you know, 3-0, 8 figures and 5, 6, 7 million for 1 year in college, which is a crazy amount. Like, I don't think that would be Ohio State's best use of its money. Although everyone would love to see a receiving core for Ohio State that still had Marvin Harrison Jr. in it next year, and nobody's disputing that part, but it would still be unusual to devote that much of your NIL resources to one particular player at that position. But to your point, is there an amount? Like, I just don't see how that's possible. Maybe if he signed with New Balance. What if New Balance? And I guess he probably couldn't do that because there are still the bizarre NIL rules where he would have to wear Nike stuff because of Ohio State's deals. Like, I guess I'm trying to come up with a solution that would have included some of the endorsement deals, the likes of which Caitlin Clark had, where she would have made more if she stayed at Iowa than going to the WNBA in all likelihood, at least in terms of salary. I'm trying to come up with a way to get there, and I don't think that they could unless Nike itself decided, you know what would be cool? $25 million for Marvin Harrison right now, and then lock him in when he becomes an actual NFL draft pick. Like, this, yeah. Ohio State couldn't have done that. And if that amount had been real, maybe the conversation would be different because a rookie contract is worth 30. But there was nobody offering him $25 million to come back for another year.
I wonder why Nike and shoe companies at specific schools haven't taken that approach yet. Like, what? I mean, again, we know Marv is different, like, as a human being. I mean, the fact that he's just announced a deal with New Balance is proof of that, yeah, on its face. But, like, Nike's offering or paying Caitlin Clark $28 million in this deal that she signed with them. Like, why would Nike not? Like, number one, you probably want Marvin Harrison in your stable of athletes. Number two, if it kept him in the spotlight at Ohio State for a year, I wonder if there are those discussions happening about certain players, or if these major companies are just trying to avoid being in that conversation. But it seems like that it would have been a way. If I was Ohio State, I would have been like, "Hey, Phil, can we have a conversation?" You know, because that may be where you can pull off that sort of, you know, trick.
Yeah, I think the only explanation that I could come up with for that would be Nike for Ohio State, or whoever is still pointlessly wearing Adidas stuff, Under Armour. They're getting a discount on those players. They're paying the schools, and Marvin was already wearing, you know, yeah, Nike shoes. Emeka will still be wearing Nike cleats next season. They don't have to necessarily carve out individual sponsorships because they've already got the Blocko, and as long as those guys are drawing the biggest broadcast audiences on Saturday, which Ohio State players are, then they don't have to branch out and make separate deals. I think that's got to be the only explanation for that.
Probably. With Marvin going in the first, like, do you buy into any, you're a little bit more versed with the agents and the people who are on the crazy side of the sport.
Yeah.
How much,
unfortunately,
how much stock do you put into the discussions that people actually have Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin?
None. I don't. It's infuriating, I think, to read it. And I understand why it exists. I understand that not everyone is going to have the same opinion about players and about roster management, although this should probably be one circumstance where there should be unanimous agreement that Marvin Harrison is the best wide receiver in this draft class. Some people just like to argue. And also there are people that like to create smoke screens, and they want to see if there's more value for Arizona or for the Chargers to trade down. Everyone that I've spoken to strongly, strongly believes that Marvin did not need to work out, is probably should be going higher than 4 in most cases. There are a lot more people that think he's the best overall football player in this draft, not just the best wide receiver. And certainly he's not going to go before a quarterback or multiple quarterbacks. And I can understand all of that as well. But I do hate this time of year. And we talked about it at the combine. We talked about it at Pro Day. It's not new for me to say this, but, like, feels like Ohio State more often than not gets targeted for the smoke screens and the sinking of the stock because A, their players are really good and every NFL franchise wants them, and B, Ohio State gets more attention and eyeballs than any other program in college football, and it will rile me up to talk about it on the podcast daily. It will rile the fan base up to argue about it on social media and click on those stories and argue about it. Picking Malik Nabers, like, he's a very good player, Berm. Like, and Rome Odunze is very good too. I'm not saying that these guys are bad football players, but I don't know what example anyone can use to say that, oh yeah, better than Marv. There's just no case for it, period.
I think it's very interesting, actually, if you look at the 2020 draft, which as far as wide receivers go, or sorry, 2021 draft, where you have Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, Ja'Marr goes fifth and Justin Jefferson goes 22nd, right? Like, I don't think anybody would argue that those two, along with maybe CeeDee Lamb, are like the best receivers in football right now. But if you redrafted it, I think most people would say that Justin Jefferson would be like a spot ahead of Ja'Marr, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you can. I think you can understandably argue either way because it's not like Ja'Marr hasn't been awesome. But right. Nabers is not Ja'Marr Chase. You know what I mean? Like, he's good, but I don't know that he's that. I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes I also feel like we, because we're at the Ohio State games every weekend, like, I don't get a chance to really watch Malik Nabers, you know? So I've seen highlights and he's pretty electric, but like, I don't get to watch him play in and play out. And we're obviously biased towards Marv because we've seen him not just on every Saturday that he's played at Ohio State, but every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all of the stuff that people nationally don't get to see. And like, I think what pisses me off about it is that there's this assumption that he's avoided the draft process because he doesn't want to work or he doesn't love, like, the guy is always working. So like, if you, and anybody at Ohio State would tell anybody in the NFL that, like, he lives in our building, he's never not there.
Right.
And so it has to be a smokescreen, but I can also see where people talk themselves into a pick of, where it's a matter of styles. Like, okay, maybe we were looking for a more of a burner type. I mean, because Nabers might be a touch faster than Marvin, but Marv, as I said, like, there's video, there's tape of him at 22 and a half miles an hour, like, faster than Tyreek Hill was that weekend. Yeah. So like,
faster than like Malik Nabers. Slow. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. So it's not like he's slow. And I just don't even understand how people can back themselves into these opinions. Like, it's pointless and stupid.
Yeah. It comes back to, would anybody be reading draft content that's just like, well, you know,
Justin
what
Jefferson you picked in 2020, right? Not 2021. So they're not, him and Ja'Marr were not in the same draft, now that I'm thinking about it. He was in the Burrow draft. So, okay. So my comparison is a player wise, style wise, like, nobody would draft Justin Jefferson now with the 22nd pick. He'd be like a top five pick.
Yeah.
And I think him and Marv are, I think comparison, like, he's, him and Marv are a pretty good comparison, I think. But whatever.
Well,
Marv's the best receiver I've ever seen at Ohio State. And I've watched them my whole life. And that includes Chris Carter. And that includes David Boston. And that includes Terry Glenn, who had the best single season of any Ohio State receiver in the history of the program. That includes Garrett, who is most physically gifted player I've ever seen, maybe at Ohio State, maybe next to Braxton Miller, as far as like being the freakiest athletes that we've ever seen come through the building. But mm-hmm. The combination of what Marv does is like, he is as surefire, like, a safe NFL draft pick as I think you could possibly have.
Yeah, and when I think about putting together that list and like making a case for Garrett Wilson, or even just in the last, you know, few years of that group that we didn't really get to see fully together the way everyone should have had an opportunity to, with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Marvin Harrison Jr., with Emeka Egbuka as a bonus throw in there, like, it's like Marv has parts of every one of their games, and that's why the more I think about it, the less I can pick one over the other. Like the insane leaping catches that Garrett Wilson was most famous for in his highlight reel, like Marv can do that too. The blazing speed that we associate with Chris Olave, we saw that on display last year in that straight line speed, and when he had the opportunity that you've already referenced a couple times, like, and then the hand eye coordination and slot Marv stuff that we talked to, you know, about last spring, like Jackson can certainly do that. That's what set him apart. Short area quickness and acceleration. Like Marv has all of that, which is why it's just nonsense.
Yeah, and the 6'4", 210 pound frame. It's so funny. And I always get nostalgic around draft time because I think back to like when these kids are going through the recruiting process and the number of times people were like, I don't know if they should take this Marvin Harrison kid. Like, the debate between Marvin and Bo Collins that Ohio State was having at the time is just, it's so funny to me. And it's pretty wild. And these are our kids, you know, they grow up so fast.
I remember
making Marv's commitment graphic for him back in 2019 and just brings a tear to my eye, you know, just one eye, not both. Cause I'm not
just
one. Not a wuss.
Well, he's achieving a dream that he set out to do a long time ago. Although he has told us before that the actual dream is to be an NFL Hall of Famer, not an NFL first round draft pick. So we'll see.
You know what we need to do though? We know Marv's going first for Ohio State, obviously, and will be the only pick on Thursday night. Who is the second Ohio State Buckeye picked?
I keep seeing all of the latest mock drafts putting Mike Hall Jr. as the second Ohio State player taken. He's in a few of the top 50s right now. And that's, did I not tell you? That's exactly what was going to happen to him as he worked out, is that the talent evaluators, general managers, scouts, agents, everybody else, they're going to be like, watch this guy work out. Like, oh, he didn't maximize his potential at Ohio State, but you're going to love the strength and the speed and all the technique. He's got his best football ahead of him. And I guess that's going to be what happens. But I'm still a little bit surprised by it because of, this is one of the cases where the fact that we watch every single Ohio State snap works against a player. It's like, we only saw it in sporadic bursts for Mike Hall. And I understand the injuries were part of that, a big part of that. You know, some of the push and pull with the rotation before that, with Larry Johnson and Mike Hall trying to, you know, see eye to eye on that usage. Like, I have a hard time thinking that he is the second Ohio State player taken based on the production that I watched, but on the potential, I think that probably is correct.
Yeah, he's going to end up, and that's why I've said before, like, it's the Jerome Baker, it's the Baron Browning situation where it's like, that guy's going to be in the NFL, and he's going to be an absolute game wrecker, and it's going to be totally different than it was at Ohio State, and people are going to be like, why did Ohio State screw this up? And I don't know that that's really the case. I think that, obviously, there's justifications on both sides of why he didn't play as much, some injury, some, you know, the rotation stuff that we talked about. But you know, those injuries kept him out of the rotation at times, and so it's frustrating because you want to always see the best of these kids when they're at Ohio State, but it's a kid who just turned 21 years old, and like he's going to be a dynamic NFL player, like no doubt about it in my mind, and I definitely think he will be the second Buckeye picked, and I think only him and Cade Stover probably get picked on Friday, and. You know, when you talk about like the best fits, if I can find a way to get Marv and Cade in Cincinnati, then that's all that really matters. And I know the Bengals have been all over Cade in this.
I think you've got a decent chance of one of those things happening. And Cade to Cincinnati would be pretty much as perfect of a fit as Joe Burrow was.
Yeah. And it's certainly what I'm hoping for. I have a real tough time with people putting him as like the fifth tight end in this draft, but I guess it's the way people view things. Like, he's not as freaky, twitched up athletically as some of the other guys ahead of him are, but like, you, again, when you're talking as an NFL draft guy, like, you're looking for guys who are going to be longtime NFL pros, and that's what Cade Stover is. And so I don't know. I don't know that he'll fall maybe picking 89, 90. I don't know if the Bengals are going to be willing to move that quick on a tight end. That's my concern. Unless they move Brock Bowers. But I have a tough time believing that Brock Bowers is going to be that good in the NFL.
I guess we'll find out. Everybody finding out where those Buckeyes are going this weekend. Draft starts on Thursday night. There will be one more Ohio State first rounder. They have more of them than any other program in college football history. They will add to that total tonight with Marv, and then we'll see what happens beyond that. Third all time in total draft picks, but the most since 2000. They still have a handful of those again as we look for what happens with the guys that we mentioned there, plus Steel Chambers, Tommy Eichenberg, Josh Proctor, Matthew Jones. That's pretty much it. Am I leaving anybody else out there, Berm?
Mayan could be. I would be shocked if Mayan or Matthew or Steele and Josh to me are the up in the air ones. I think you could see them both go in the sixth or seventh come the weekend because they're productive and they have played a lot of football and they're smart. Especially Steele, like he's a perfect guy for special teams and all the other versatility he brings. And Josh is such an athletic freak that I think someone will take a flyer on him, especially because Ronnie Hickman had such a productive rookie season and Jordan Fuller's been so good in the NFL. And I think you'll see Josh get picked.
And he's got more impressive measurables than both of those guys, which I think is another part that people will fall in love with. Or I guess we'll find out if they did or did not over this weekend. I'll speak for Berm. I'm going to say it's been an absolute pleasure to cover all of those guys throughout their careers. Josh Proctor longer than others, perhaps, but we wish them nothing but the best and hope they find somewhere to go call home and start their professional careers this weekend. So salute to those Buckeyes. If you're watching the draft, enjoy that as well. But we'll be back again with the Podcast Daily on Friday. It'll be Freaky Friday. We're kicking around a mailbag, so maybe we'll throw that out on subtext if you want to send us some questions and have us dive into that as we wrap up this week of coverage. But enjoy the draft. Thanks for joining us on the Podcast Daily for Thursday. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll see you later.